Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
By DraftKings on both sides of the ledger. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. I think we start off with some football. How do you feel about that?
Peachy, I'm in.
Okay, good. Double peachy. We had Julian Edelman speak yesterday, and then a little bit of news at the end of yesterday's show. So I want to get to both Edelman and that Lamar Miller signing by the Patriots, veteran running back signed by the Pats at the end of the day yesterday. Before I get into it a little bit, what do you make of it?
Okay, so my first reaction was, well, they're not happy with somebody. They're not happy with somebody. Like, they need another running back on the roster? Really? That's what they need? Between the guys they already got, that's what the need was? They need another running back? Of all the issues they have, running back was it? So I look at it and say, Sony Michel, Damian Harris, Rex Burkhead, all of the above, somebody's going to be out of a job if this guy can play. Because Miller, to me, and you know, Burkhead sort of falls in this area, but he's never healthy. Miller, if he's healthy, is the best all-purpose back that they would have, at least based on what I know about Harris. And when I say all-purpose, meaning he can run and he can catch. So to me, that's the kind of back the Patriots should want because of their emphasis on the passing game, at least when Brady was here. I presume Bill still wants the same kind of thing. So to me, it tells you they're not happy with what they have there.
So I was going to say, do you think he's just roster fodder, just a guy that real cheap and, you know, why not? Or is there a reason? Is there a purpose? And does that reason exist on the Patriots roster? And you said again, so you think it is directly related to the fact of they're not happy or they don't feel what they have there is ready?
I do. Where I put the emphasis on Michelle, because he was the first round pick. So I look at Michelle and say, well, it's been 2 years now. Has he been a factor in the passing game at all?
No.
And in the running game, I would say, you know, when they had a line, he was good. When they didn't, he wasn't. And so to me, he feels pretty ordinary. And I look at that and say, if you have an ordinary back, running back, okay, talking purely ability to carry the ball, you can't play him on passing downs so that when he's on the field, you know, whatever percentage of the time that is that they know they're going to run because you can't throw to him, that really limits you, doesn't it? Makes you predictable. And I can't imagine that Bill's happy with that. Why would you be happy with that? If another team has that kind of player and they put him on the field, how do you think the Patriots would treat him? They say they never throw to this guy. So, you know, keep your eyes when he's on the field. They usually run. You become predictable. And to me, it's a commentary mostly on Michelle, again, because he's the youngest and they spent the most to get him.
And he's on POP. He's, you know, got the reoccurring knee issue. He's not very good, or, you know, he had that one good playoff run, but that was mostly about the offensive line than anything else. Yeah, I think it's totally an indictment on Sony Michel.
And when I say he's the youngest, Damian Harris is a year younger, but Michelle is really the guy.
Okay, so is it knee or foot now? I thought it was foot for Sony Michel. Point is,
well, whatever it is, he's always got a list of maladies.
Exactly. So, to me, so look, you know me, I usually do running backs on your own time, but it's the apocalypse, and I want a few football items, and so this one I think qualifies. Lamar Miller is a serious player.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say Pro Bowler, but you know, what does that really mean? All I know is I've always liked him. You know, I've not that again, I would overpay him or whatever. I'm not changing my mind on running backs. I've always noticed him, you know, whether it was in Miami or Houston, you know, shifty, nifty little playmaker, I've thought, and it was the stuff in the passing game, as you sort of pointed out, that always stood out to me. He was always a factor in the passing game, never mind that he could rush for 4 yards a carry, which is, you know, really the benchmark. He's over 4 yards a carry guy career, 4.3, you know, in his career, but he's somebody who can catch a 30, 40 balls. And that's Sony Michel's not shown any ability to do that. No running back on the Patriots has shown the ability to be a 4 yards a carry guy and a consistent threat in the passing game. Burkhead may be on paper, but he can't stay healthy. Harris couldn't even get on the field, and Michel's never been a factor in the passing game. And as Greg Bedard pointed out in Boston Sports Journal, they brought Lamar in for a workout the day before they signed him. which tells you something, which is, you know, sort of a tell in that they weren't sure. They worked him out. They had to see what they had. And when they saw what they had, he's on the team. So long story short, I love this signing. I love this signing. I like this player because it also feeds my agenda, Murray. It feeds my anti-running back agenda, which is you pay millions of dollars for Burkhead. You draft Sony Michel in the first round. You draft Damian Harris in the third round. You spend all this capital at running back, and you watch. A veteran scrap heap minimum level guy is going to come in and win the job and be a factor. And that's why I say why. I just want him to work out to feed my agenda. That, see, there's always a Lamar Miller lurking out there somewhere on the scrap heap that's going to give you everything you need, whether you drafted high or spend too much. It's why you should never devote big resources at that position. And I hope Lamar Miller is the last, you know, the latest guy to prove that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we're going to start talking about agendas, then I'm going to feed mine.
Go.
Which is that you take a guy like Sony Michel in the first round purely, and he's not a first-round pick. So I focus on that part of it, and I'm sort of coming at it from the same angle as you, or at least in a little part. You know, that guy's not a first-round talent, and I think that now we are finding that out. I thought that was a stupid pick at the time, and he's done nothing to really change my mind on that. Now, again, the year he had in 2018 when they won the Super Bowl, particularly at the end, I would tell you that had largely to do with the offensive line. They opened holes. He ran through them. But does he make people miss? Does he create it on his own? Does he catch balls? Is he elusive? None of that. And so Miller is the most complete back on their roster. He's the most complete back on their roster. And so to me, if he's healthy, he's the guy.
I hope he is. I hope he is. And I'll just teach you once and for all. Don't draft those guys high. Don't spend too much money on them. There's always a Lamar Miller. There's always someone out there ready to come in and do it for little money and little risk and little outlay. There's always a guy there. And I hope Lamar Miller is the latest guy. Greg Bedard writes again in Boston Sports Journal, by signing Miller, you could almost hear Michelle and Harris sitting up a little straighter in their meeting room chairs.
Good.
He says Miller is not some sort of plug the gap guy. He was a seriously talented running back and has a heck of a lot more agility, speed, and tackle breaking ability than Michelle has. And if Miller is recovered from his ACL, he's going to have more skill than Sony Michel, or he did at his peak anyway. To me, says Bedard, Miller is here to give both Michel and Harris a sense of urgency. The team probably wasn't crazy that Michel was waiting until May to fix his troublesome foot, and he's still not ready 3 months later. Plus, Michel hasn't exactly been an Iron Man dating back to his days at Georgia. It's also important to note that the Patriots signed Miller after he visited the team. This is a bit unusual for them and shows they liked very much what they saw. Meanwhile, about Harris, Bedard says the popular line about Harris during his lost rookie season after being a third-round pick was that there were just no openings for him to play since none of the backs suffered a serious injury last year. That may be partially true, says Bedard. But if you're talented and the team's running game is struggling like it did for New England last season, then the team is going to find a place for you on the field. That is, unless you're struggling in the classroom and practice field and the team can't trust you. Isn't that obvious that that's what happened with Damian Harris? That, you know, I don't care what the depth chart looks like in front of you, unless it's quarterback, right? If you're a talented guy, they're going to find a spot for you, especially at running back, where they rotate him in and out and you dole out carries and find specific roles and specific packages. If they trusted Damian Harris in the classroom or the practice field, he would have played last year.
No question. I mean, I generally feel that about any position, and I allow more latitude in some than others because they need more time to adapt or what have you. But if a guy is good enough, they'll get him on the field.
So Bedard says, like we've written a few times on this site in the offseason, this training camp was set up to be a showdown between Michel and Harris. Whoever lost the battle might have very well been ticketed for a trade out of town. Signing Miller only reinforces that notion. Mitchell and Harris better step it up with a bona fide veteran option with proven success in the system now on the roster. I'm now rooting heavily, heavily for Lamar Miller. Just the latest disposable razor in a position that is, and I know this sounds crass and cruel, and I know back lives matter, and I don't, you know, that's just our little internal joke, but to me, running backs, disposable razors.
Fuses in a fuse box. Yep.
It's fuses in a fuse box. Don't spend too much. Don't put too much draft capital into it. Don't put too much money into it. There's always a guy from Deion Lewis, who was the last running back you had that I liked, to this guy, who I thought was like, you know, Deion Lewis was a poor man's Lamar Miller when Deion Lewis was going here, right? Lamar Miller's a genuine article. If he's back, now he suffered the ACL last year, right? It was last year in training camp that he suffered the ACL.
I think that's right.
Usually takes 2 years. Usually takes 2 years to get back and be full speed and be the same guy if you're, you know, even close to it. So let's see. He may not. For all I know, he's cut the first week of camp, and he'll be one of those guys. But I'm rooting for him. So do you have thoughts on Lamar Miller at 617-779-0985? On Julian Edelman, and we'll play a bunch of his cuts throughout the first hour plus of this program because there's quite a few jumping off points there with Julian Edelman. What stood out with his stint yesterday, Maz, or what stands out with you just in general with Julian Edelman going forward this season?
Look, I've said this all along. I think this whole quarterback competition, that it's clear to me from the very beginning, Edelman wants Cam Newton. That's the guy he wants to play quarterback. He's an older veteran player. Edelman is, and he doesn't have time to bring along and hold hands for a young quarterback. So Edelman wants to win. He wants to win now. I give him credit for having to fire up his ass and wanting to disprove people, because it does seem that he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. The whole idea that he was, quote unquote, made by Tom Brady bugs him, which I like. But to me, he wants Newton. He's always wanted Newton, and I think Newton's going to be the guy. And if Newton's the quarterback, I think that's your best chance of getting a productive Edelman.
Okay, that's my question. Do you really? Do you think the way Cam Newton plays to Julian Edelman's strengths?
I think I think it can.
How?
Because, again, look at Cam Newton's best year as a passer. It was throwing to backs and tight ends, which tells me middle of the field and matchups.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, well, I think Greg Olsen more of a, I don't say, you know, stretch the field, but, you know, Greg Olsen, I in my mind's eye, is running deep seam routes and touchdowns, and I don't feel like Greg Olsen was a dink and dunk kind of player.
No, he's a middle of the field tight end. He wasn't Gronk by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, that's how I look at it, too. And the other thing, I don't know a ton about DJ Moore, so I'd love for people to tell me, but when he was in Carolina, I think Newton had success, and he's a slot guy, right? I think so. Again, I want to find out more about that, but someone told me that Newton likes working with a slot guy, and Edelman, you know, can work there. So but regardless, I think Edelman wants Newton. He wants the veteran guy. He wants to win.
Well, he wants the name. He's a star bleeper. We know that. So I'm sure that plays in. But I don't know. I mean, so maybe, you know, maybe got better sourcing on this, you know, than me. Because I have no sourcing. But I don't think that Newton's a particularly accurate guy, Maz. And I don't feel like he's a quick release guy. And to me, Julian Edelman thrives with a quarterback with the quick release and is accurate in the short to intermediate zones. Bang, bang. And Cam Newton had a lot of success throwing to McCaffrey that 1 year. And yes, he proved he could hit the back out of the backfield. Is he the guy that, again, third step, back, balls out, quick, intermediate, accurate little throw? I don't feel like that's Cam Newton's strengths. I don't feel like that's him. And I don't think the two players fit. But you know what? I think there's even a much bigger issue with Julian Edelman. We're sort of whistling past the graveyard on that. Like, I think that, you know, that's putting the cart before the horse, as they like to say, which is system fit, maybe, maybe not. But I mean, there's a whole other issue with Julian Edelman that I don't think enough people are appreciating, and that is his position, that kind of player at his age, historically, is toast. He's toast.
Now, this one I'm with you on.
Historically. Okay, we'll get to him specifically, but historically, the mid-30-year-old slot guy by this point is done. Doesn't matter what kind of quarterback he has. So let's pick up on that, our thoughts on Edelman, your thoughts on Lamar Miller, at 617-779-0985.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know we saw some social media posts from you about Tom's departure, but just how you felt at that time when he left and sort of now pressing forward without the guy who's been your quarterback for all those years.
It was a little different scenario, but you got to move on and you understand that this is a business and you wish him well. And that's when you instantly start thinking about what you have to do to prepare yourself to go out and contribute and help the team for the upcoming year. So obviously, yeah, we played a lot of ball together. I love him to death, but you know, the train keeps moving, as it will when, you know, I'm not playing here or something. I mean, it just always keeps going. So, you know, we got to worry about the people that we have here and, you know, try to prepare ourselves the best we can with the situation that we're in with all everything we're dealing with.
Yes, I was Julian Edelman yesterday, Maz, that comment stood out to you?
Yeah, I just like the line. The train keeps moving. I mean, in all honesty, I say this to, you know, friends and family all the time, except I use a slightly different terminology. The machine keeps going, man. It doesn't miss you when you're gone. The machine keeps going. And so I was happy to hear Edelman say it, because if anyone could pout in the absence of Brady, it would be Edelman. With all the people that have gone here in the last little bit, particularly the quarterback, Edelman could look at it and say, I'd rather be in Tampa.
Well, based on the social media activity, I think there was some of that initially, and then he had a quick reprogramming, whether that was his own internal reprogramming or from his boss, Bill Belichick.
So, but I'll tell you what, Murray, is that he buys in again. Like, I'll allow for a little bit of sulking. Hell, Brady sulked when they got rid of Logan Mankins. He sucked for a month. And then he came out of it and started playing again. And I do think that Edelman probably went, oh, man. But I think that eventually you sort of wake up to the reality of it. And the organization says, you're not going anywhere. And you say, all right, well, you know what? I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to play. And so I'll tell you where I have faith in Edelman as a competitor. I don't think he can bring himself to half-ass it. I just don't think he's that kind of player. I don't think he's ever been, and because he can't be. He's just not big enough or fast enough or strong enough to get away with it. And so I have respect for him for that. And if he's reached the point where he says, well, I have no choice, I got to play, that's okay as long as he plays.
Okay, I love the player. Tremendous. I'm just being realistic. Slot receivers at 34 coming off the kind of injuries he's had. I mean, we've seen it, and we've compiled a little list here. We'll show it to you on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. You know, by this point, Wes Welker was cashed. By this point, at 32, Wes Welker, I think, went to Denver. And then by the time he was 34, remember he had like that one little hang-on season?
With the Rams, yeah.
Very good, with the LA Rams, Murray. So by then he was done. Troy Brown, at the age of 34 in 2005, caught 38 balls and was still part of that offense and was even still, you know, part of it in 06, just because they had absolutely nothing else. But, you know, by this point, Wayne Corbett retired for 2 years. By this point, Wes Welker, just about done. By this point, Troy Brown, in his last year of viability, 06 again, 05, 06, just hanging on. Then we threw up some more. You know, Brandon Stokley, by this point, at the age of 34 for Seattle, had 31 grabs. And then we even dug back deeper. Remember Charlie Joyner from the San Diego Chargers at the time?
Sure.
Now, was he a pure slot guy? I don't know. I don't know where we came up with these. We also just threw Charlie Jones and Andre Reed and Hines Ward onto this list. Whether they were pure slot guys or not, I guess we can debate. But Charlie Joyner, who I do remember at the time, was ageless, right? Wasn't he like, it was like him and Art Monk. It just kept playing forever and ever and ever. So he had the high water mark at 70 catches. But the rest of these guys, you're just not producing at that position at that age. You're just not. And oh, frankly, oh, by the way, I keep saying at that position, at hardly any position. other than quarterback. Quarterback now, early to mid-30s, is becoming prime-ish. But other than that, name me another position, especially the slot receiver. What slot receivers are even in the league after the age of 30?
Right.
Maybe that's why we had such a hard time coming up with names, Murray.
Yeah.
Because by the time they get to 30, they're done.
Yeah, I think he's in uncharted territory, really. Like, because I look at Welker specifically. In that second year in Denver, there was already a massive drop-off. I mean, the numbers are basically cut in half. And then at age 34, he's with the Rams. And it was kind of sad to watch him as little as he played there. So for a guy like Edelman and like Welker, I mean, the way that they play the position, going over the middle, taking the beating that they have year after year, game after game, and for Edelman to have the season he had last year, which was, you know, down for him, especially when you look at the drops, like, he's in uncharted territory here, because I still think he'll be productive and have a good season this year.
So there's only one thing that I think works in Edelman's favor, because I said this to you at the end of last year, if you remember. I'd go get the next slot guy. I think Edelman might be cashed. I said, Brady's not the only one I'm worried about. I'm worried about Edelman. So physically, I mean, in terms of the beating, hell yeah, I'm right there with you. Now, I think his attitude is good. Is the body there? I don't know.
In a weird way, he might have actually bought himself an extra year when he lost time for when he blew out his knee in the preseason. What was that now, 3 years ago, 2 years ago? So maybe that's why I still think
it saved him a year, right?
Right. So I was just going to say, the only thing that works in his favor compared to Welker, say, over 300 fewer targets.
Yeah.
Right? So that's almost 2 years. And so I look at that and say, he also started a little later, right? Remember, he was a backup for a while, didn't get on the field a ton.
Yep.
So a lot of the wear and tear has come recently. He might be, if there is such a thing, a young 34. But if you tell me that he's cash halfway through the season, is anyone going to be surprised?
So I worry about Edelman with system fit with Newton. And just tell you, just got a message from a Patriot former player source. I'm not going to reveal my sources.
Yeah.
That said, you got it. Cam, not good for 11. That's from a high-level Patriot source. High-level-ish. Patriot source. I'm just going to float that to you. You got it. Cam, not good for 11. And this is a person who should know.
Is that organizational source or just general?
Well, let's define organization.
Works for the team?
Ish. Okay, that's all I'm going to give you. Okay, that's all I'm going to give you. Cam, you got it. Cam, not good for a lot. I don't think he is. Can he throw to a wide open running back out of the flat like he did with McCaffrey? Sure. Can he chuck the ball up to Greg Olsen? You know, sure. Yes. Can he feed a little slot guy with little timing routes over the middle, you know, or whatever on little option routes, three step ball out, accurate? I don't know. I don't feel like he plays that way. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't feel like Cam. But that's secondary to what's Edelman going to be, period. And, oh, by the way, you said you like Edelman's attitude. I like Edelman's competitiveness. I'm a competitive son of gun. Okay? So, I mean, I like him, too, in that regard. I do worry about the attitude in terms of, oh, his buddy, you know, his buddy's in Tampa, and I'm stuck here. And what I expect from Edelman is full buy-in, full commitment. I want him to suck the tuchus of his next quarterback every bit as bad as he sucked Brady's tuchus, and I don't care if that's Newton or Stidham or Hoyer. I want full buy-in, full sacrifice, full subjugation. I want the full Edelman-Brady prostration. You know what I'm saying?
And
it bugged me that Edelman didn't give that to Garoppolo at the time, but I get it. Edelman's got to, you know, he knows who butters his bread, and that's Tom Brady, so I get it. Now Tommy's gone, Jules. And you've got to support and prop up and do everything to this quarterback that you did to the last one. That's what I expect to see from Edelman, and I'm not sure about that yet either.
Okay, but Mike,
right, because if things go bad or he's not getting the ball, is he going to look down to Tampa with little puppy eyes?
Okay, so that I'll allow for if he doesn't get the ball. I was going to say, remember with Garoppolo that once the real game started, he worked. He worked.
That's true.
Right. Once he got on the field with Garoppolo, it worked. So the loyalty to Brady, all that crap was there. But once it came time to play, he played. And I think that at his core, that's what Edelman is. And look, the whole, you know, are they going to pump and feed the slot the way they did when Brady was here? Probably not. What if they use him a little different? What if they use him in the slot, but they're just not targeting him all the time? Or what if they move him to the outside? What if they use him out there? He's played on the outside before.
He has. I don't think that's where he's the most effective.
But he might not be the same guy anymore.
Sure. I mean, I don't expect him to win big one-on-one battles against good corners out there. Or what? You going to throw them sideline ball? You going to throw them boundary route balls? You going to throw jump balls out there? You got Harry and Sanu out there for that thing. Now, those guys might play to Newton's strengths. That's what he's used to doing. Benjamin and Funchess and those big guys, right? Isn't he used to doing that? Chucking the ball up down the field to the outside? I don't know.
But Sanu's really a slot guy, too. I mean, he's a guy that's more effective on the inside of the field than the outside.
Is he?
And I think. I mean, I think that's the way they used him in Atlanta.
Well, I'm going to wait to see. I'm going to check in again with my... I don't know if I want to say high-ranking Patriot player source. I'll just say ranking Patriot player source.
Ranking you what, like it. Top 20? Are we topping 10, 15?
Cam,
what are we
Cam,
talking?
I can't reveal my sources, Mess. Cam not good for 11. That's all I know. Okay, your thoughts, I promise, to your phones after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You get pretty banged up last year during the course of the season, played through injuries. I was just wondering, after an off season, how you're feeling physically and in terms of going ahead with the season.
Oh, I mean, last year, I mean, it's football. Everyone gets banged up. Everyone's dealing with something, you know, and then this year, in off season, you try the whole time to get your body feeling the best it can, and you get ready to prepare your body for football. So that's where we're at right now. It's been a crazy off season with, you know, the quarantining and not having a familiar routine that you're accustomed to going into an off season. So there's been a lot of adjusting, you know, the body's feeling better and better each day. That's what you strive for, improvement. And it'll continue to do that through conditioning and, all those types of things that we do. So I don't know if I answered that question, but, health questions are very scary to me.
Yeah. I get
this organization.
Yeah, it's football, but he's one of those positions, man. You know, the middle of the football field positions, running backs, tight ends, slot guys. I think their life expectancy is shorter. Or, you know, it's just – so for him, it's a much bigger question mark. So that's Julian Edelman. Thoughts on him and his fit with Cam Newton. Thoughts on your expectations for Julian Edelman this season. Your thoughts on the Lamar Miller signing, which I sort of liked as well. Let's lead that off with Rick in Merrimack. He's got a thought on Lamar Miller. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, guys. Absolutely. Bringing Lamar Miller is good, but it's another check mark in Belichick wasting a draft pick. Sony Michel, number one. I mean, give me a break. Belichick has sucked at drafting the last few years. His staff evaluating talent has obviously sucked, too. And secondly, I just want to put a thought in on Edelman. Man is absolutely awesome, but he probably only has about another year left before his body going to cave in.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
that's it, guys.
Yeah, face it. His shelf life's not long. But, you know, we're not worried about the next five. We're thinking about this year. Can he be there for Cam Newton to go on a good run? And I don't know. I think the jury's out even on a year. You know, who knows about that? Do you look at Sony Michel as a failed draft pick?
I wouldn't say completely failed, but I would say, I mean, he's been okay. If they'd taken him in the third round, I'd be fine with it. So you got to factor in the first round part of it. Now, again, failed is a little strong because...
It's tough to say that because they won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's not like he hasn't been on the field and, you know, so failed is a little strong. But if you're asking me, has he lived up to what they invested in him? No. No. Like, in terms of what they, you know, has he been worth the investment? My answer is no. And so, in fact, Mike, just quickly, because I was just looking at it again as the caller was talking. Do you realize that the only first-round pick they have on the roster in the last 10 years that they've really gotten anything out of is Devin McCourty? Okay, now, N'Keal Harry, I'm giving sort of a gray area there. And you know, I should, you know, I'm being tough on Michelle here and Isaiah Wynn, but I feel like now they're bringing in a potential replacement for Michelle. Isaiah Wynn has been good when he's been out there, but he's played, what, 8 games in 2 years? N'Keal Harry's played half a season. Before those guys, the last one you find, everyone else is gone. Hightower's not playing this year now. Chandler Jones is gone. Solder's gone. You got to go all the way back to McCourty to find a first-round draft pick that they've really gotten consistent production out of over more than 1 year. That's amazing.
And I, you know, dipping back into it with Harris and the third round pick, and if I just I wonder if, you know, Bedard was intimating that Harris wasn't installing confidence in the classroom or the practice field. So it feels like maybe an intangible thing with Damien Harris. It had to be something.
So another wasted draft pick then, another wasted third rounder from 2019.
Right, and it's sort of like he's an Alabama guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you spent all that time on him, you got all that inside knowledge from Nick Saban, and you draft a guy in the third round, it turns out he's not like a system fit. Like, I get them drafting guys that don't work out talent wise. That happens all the time. That's a hard deal there, the draft. It's a crapshoot. But the system fit, especially coming from Saban, how you screw up another system fit?
So Cyrus Jones?
Right. I mean, it's like, those are the ones that perplex me. So, yeah, Bill's got to turn around in the draft. I don't think there's any question about that. Jason on the road calling us on Edelman. Go ahead, Jason.
How's it going? So I believe that Edelman's not going to have a good season. When Cam was in Carolina, he was throwing to Steve Smith, and Steve Smith looked good, but he was never exceptional with Cam Newton. When Steve Smith shined is when Cam Newton got hurt that season. Steve Smith put up crazy numbers. So I do think that there is a receiver on the roster who will benefit from Cam Newton, and that's N'Keal Harry. He's a very physical receiver. He's going to go up and get the ball. He's similar to a Greg Olsen, Brandon LaFell, who shined underneath Cam Newton. So I'm going to hang up and hear what you think.
Okay, Maz, you have a thought on that?
So, look, I do. I think if you're going by the profile of what worked in Carolina and the kind of quarterback Newton has been in the past, then I think, yeah, N'Keal Harry could. He could benefit from Cam Newton. I don't think there's any question. I'm not counting out Edelman because of the Belichick factor. And again, I look at that year that Cam Newton had with McCaffrey, where he completed 68% of his passes and Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator. I can't just throw that out because I look at that year and say, well, wait a minute. We had a coordinator and a guy could throw to out of the backfield. The number was actually pretty good. So do we think that Bill Belichick is going to put him in a spot where he's going to complete 58% of his passes, or is he going to get something more out of him? And I think this is where the Belichick factor will help Newton, and I think Edelman can work. It might not be what it was with Brady, but can it work? Yeah, I think it can work.
I just want to see it. You know, I don't want to sit here and look at Edelman and go, so now that your buddy boy is down in Tampa, I'm getting less than the full Edelman. And you're just not quite as there. You're not quite as committed. You're not quite as bought in. Like, it'd be a better story for me if he balls out. And if he balls out for Cam Newton and he helps the Patriots and helps Bill prove Brady wrong and just get on that side of the thing. You know what I mean? And as opposed to him not getting the ball or pouting or just the googly eyes down to Tampa. You're saying when Brady first signed, there was googly eyes down in Tampa there, Murray?
Yeah, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He did like full shows on it.
Yeah.
How come I don't remember? Because my brain is freaking fried. What did he do? He do like the googly eye? Like what?
Yeah,
what's the internet thing that he would do? Big sausage emoji?
Yeah, he was liking posts of Tom that, you know, that it was, there was all kinds of salutations on Instagram when Brady was making his announcement. And he put the big letter and everything on there, right? Like, we did shows on this. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, and I thought there was a chance that they were going to, you know, that Tampa might trade for him or, you know, someone else would try to bring him in. But at the end of the day, I told you, when I saw that, it was Mike Giardi who had that tweet, I think, that Edelman was intent on proving it. And this is now weeks after Brady left, maybe months.
Right.
that Edelman was intent on proving to people he wasn't just a product of Brady. Yeah, it felt to me that Edelman had gotten it out of his system. He probably had a conversation with Bill, and Bill said to him, "We're not sending you anywhere. You're staying. We need you. We don't have enough veteran guys in this offense. We need somebody reliable, and you're the guy."
So Edelman bought in again. Sorry, Maz. Edelman proving that he's not a product of Tom Brady is a good story.
Yep.
I'll take that story. I'll take a positive story every now and then, because it also can diminish Brady a little bit. So we can still play both sides. No, but if Julian Edelman can prove he's not a product of Brady, that's what he should be striving for.
No question.
I think a lot of people out there think that he's just the puppet on the string for Tommy Boy. I'm sorry, Murray.
Oh, for sure. So here was the specific thing that I remember we were all fire and brimstone about, is that Deion Sanders tweeted asking for the Patriots to trade Edelman to the Bucks, comparing the duo to peanut butter and jelly, and Edelman liked the tweet.
Okay, that's gross. I don't want to see anything like that. I don't want any of the googly eyes down to Tampa. I don't want any of that bull crap. I want Edelman with the hair across his ass motivated to prove people, to prove to people that he's not a product of Brady, just like Bill. He and Bill should be on the same page and have the same motivation. So let's give him the same point right there. All right, I like that. Long commercial-free segment comes your way next with your calls.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The passion that Tom has for football, and you were around that your entire career, how much of that passion for preparing for football on and off the field do you think rubbed off on you?
There's a lot of guys that are passionate for football. Of course, Tom has a passion that's a very big one. You know, he's moved on and he's somewhere else. And, you know, we're worried about the passion of the players that are on this team right now. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of guys that are very passionate and very hungry.
That was more from Edelman in his media session yesterday. Felger and Maz continues. Maz and Murray in our Town for Tire studios in Dorchester. I'm in the remote a-hole chair. We've got Steve and Lynn. Your thoughts. You're up next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Michael. What's up, Mike? How you doing, buddy?
How you doing? Good, man.
Mike, I'll talk about Julian Edelman, Mike. I guess there's some movies on that talking about him, about with Kendall. Mike, this is his son, Mike. This is already talked about Belichick and all that stuff, Mike.
Okay, Steve, thanks for the call. I don't mean to laugh at you. Wait, that guy slips through every once in a while. I'm curious what he sounds like on the screen.
I don't know, but I could barely
like
decipher.
Pick up the phone,
like,
Billy? Does he sound the same way?
I got like one out of every five words.
I heard a couple mics in there.
Yeah.
Anthony and Fall River. Go ahead, Anthony. What do you got?
Yeah, I know Bill Belichick's a great coach, but how long are we going to let this jackass keep drafting? I mean, year after year, he just takes bum after bum. There's more bums on that football team than there are on the streets of Boston. I mean, I'll tell you right now.
Okay, so that's a little strong. Murray, do you feel that way? Do you feel that way, though?
No, that, like, the draft board needs to be taken away from him? No, I'd like some checks and balances because I think he's had, like, four straight whiffs.
And I think, Sony Michel's not even one of the whiffs. I mean, ish.
Well,
it's just a waste to take a running back there.
Yeah, right.
Well, especially.
You go ahead. You give me a grade for Sony Michel.
Oh, like C minus.
I was going to say C, like maybe C plus, but he's an average player. Again, that's sort of where I put it. He's an average back. And a first round pick on a guy like that, like at least with Isaiah Wynn, you could look at it and say, okay, he's been hurt and he plays what you would categorize as a premium position. Like that's a, you know, a high investment spot. You're going to have a quarterback and you're going to invest in your quarterback. You better have a freaking left tackle that can play.
Yeah.
That I get.
And if you're going to take a running back that high, make sure you get the right one. Cause just, you know, a handful to 10 picks after him go Nick Chubb and, who's that guy in Detroit, Kerryon Johnson. So, I don't know. It's just that guy has been average at best since he's come into the league. And the only reason he was productive in 2018 was because of that offensive line.
So to me, he's got it. He does have. See, what was it? He sucks. He has a good, had a good draft. And I just think that's a little strong. But I don't think there's any question that the last, I don't know, whatever you want to put this timestamp, 3-4 years, he's in a slump. So you hope he's in a slump. You hope he's in a slump and that he's pulled himself out of it and, you know, he'll start to turn around. Because if it's not a slump and it is what it is, that means he's lost it, right? The alternative is that he's lost. There's people who think that he's lost it. I'm not willing to go there. I'm not willing to go there, you know, by half. But it does happen. It does happen to GMs. It does happen to coaches. Like it does a player where they have their prime or they have a hot streak or they have a run and then they sort of lose it and they never get it back. And that does happen. And I thought this last draft was as Bill's most stubborn draft ever. You know, I mean, Division 1-2A safety.
Right.
You know, that was ranked high, but no one really noticed because he's a 1-2A safety. And that's a guy that they pick up after trading down. It's like all the things that have frustrated us over the years and all the things that have led to some recent failures. Bill doesn't say, okay, we're going to correct it. We're going to go in the other direction. He says, you know what? I'm doubling down and I'm going to do it even more. I'll see your Jordan Richards. I'm going to see your Duke Dawson, and I will raise you. What's his name? What's the guy this year?
Kyle Duggar.
Duggar?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like as bad as you think it is, as much as aggravates you, you thought that was bad. Wait till you see this one, and which is so his way, and who knows? Maybe this guy will pan out, but I think the clock is ticking on Bill in his drafts. If this one or the one before, if they don't have a good young group here in the next couple of years, I'll be willing to say that he's lost it versus just slumping.
Oh, for sure. And again, remember, like, you know, to me, you should have a pretty good grasp somewhere halfway through the second year whether or not you have anything in some of those players. You should have a little bit of a clue there. And so, you know, you go back and you say, well, Sony Michel looked pretty good halfway through the first year, but then last year wasn't so good, so a jury's still out on him. And Isaiah Wynn, we're now 2 years in with those players, and I would say that overall we're still, they're okay. Like, you know, I don't think we have a definitive yes yet. And then last year's group, Harry, we don't know. Jawan Williams, we certainly don't know. Winovich looks okay. Harris hasn't been on the field. You know, Kajust, Froholt, Stidham, unknowns. The only certainty I think you really look at from that draft is the punter. Bailey was good. Like, you got yourself a punter. But other than that, you know, we don't know in that draft. So it's a big year for those guys coming up. Like, they've had so many shaky ones in a row that it's hard to look at their roster and feel good about any of the young talent.
Okay, Ryan in Tewksbury, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, I'm just wondering, how much more time are we going to give Sony Michel? Is this like his make it or break it year? Or like, how long can we wait on this dude? He did well the first year because he benefited from Devlin, but after that, he did dog crap last year.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Ryan. Ryan, it would not surprise me one bit if they released him in camp or traded him for, you know, a mid-round pick. Would not, and I'm not necessarily saying that's likely or they're gonna, or that I would necessarily predict that. But third year in the system, and if he, Maz, and again, as Bedard sort of intimated, that he might have aggravated the team with when he had the surgery.
Correct.
You know, he could have had it earlier in the offseason, but maybe he dilly-dallied, or maybe they've seen something through all the injuries about his rehab or his durability or his toughness or some sort of stuff where they've seen something now, third year in, and they say, you know what, this guy's not for us. To their credit, they're not going to hang on to a guy just because they drafted him in the first round. But if that's what they've determined with Sony Michel, They'll release him. It would not surprise me one bit if he's not on the team this year, one way or the other.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by it either.
Dan's in Somerville.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
How's it going? So first of all,
right there, Dan in Somerville.
So first of all, Maz, I am so proud of you for coming around on Sony Michel. He used to be an F in your book. Now he's up to a C. That's good growth mindset on your part.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Second part, and I'll hang up and listen. Why, and without saying Tom Brady as your answer, why is it so important for Belichick to go 10 for 10, whatever, in the draft when he can just do the salary cap on a napkin like Felger says all the time? Have a good one, guys.
The salary cap is different than the draft. The draft, you're not making any sense, but first of all. But second of all, the draft's hard. The draft's real. That's a hard deal. Everyone screws it up. Everyone's wrong at least half the time. That's real. The cap is phony. Anyone could do it. I could figure out the NFL salary cap if you give me a cocktail napkin in 5 minutes. Because the NFL salary cap is an ownership excuse. I've been through it a million times. What, you want me to explain it again? You're equating the NFL salary cap to the NFL draft? What are you, freaking soft? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, so I...
meanwhile, Jimmy Stewart has... Go.
I was going to say, I think he was trying to say that, you know, you need the draft picks to control the payroll. And to me, it's not a question of controlling the payroll. It's a question of getting good talent in the organization. They don't have enough good players right now. That's what the issue is.
Cap or no cap, you want good young talent. Okay? Cap or no cap, you want good young talent. And you can find, you know, I bet you Lamar Miller is going to cost them less than Damian Harris. So you can find cheap talent from the veteran ranks. I think Lamar Miller is going to cost him less than Sony Michel. So you don't necessarily need draft picks to keep your salary low. It would be good to keep your payroll down. That's nice, and everyone wants good young talent. Two separate things. Sorry, two separate things. Meanwhile, Jimmy Stewart has maybe someone whispering in his ear, or his phone went off or something. He believes something. He believes something about the Patriots quarterback position that we want to hear. In the meantime, Stu, when I toss to Big Jim Murray here for his 90-second update, no commercials, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to dial back in, because if I have to deal with any more of this delay, I'm going to chuck my computer off the off this deck here, Maz. You know what I mean?
I was actually going to suggest that you do that very thing.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw myself off the freaking porch. This is killing me. Here's the update. We're back with more. No commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.